If you are sick, that may be coming from a particular region in purgatory. We're going to talk about how and why that is and exactly what you can do to find the healing that you're looking for. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, you can tell that worldwide, as information is becoming more common, people are realizing that there are many layers to any and every disease. Yes, it is certainly the case that diseases can come from organic things, viruses that we catch, as well as genetic things. But we're also coming to understand that the food that we eat and the environment are poisoning us as we speak, and that many of the inflammatory diseases that we have come from there. However, a lesser known thing that we are just beginning to understand and untap is the spiritual source of many of the illnesses that we have. Now, I found this information from Maria Sima, a very well-known purgatory mystic. I've read her book many times. I don't ever remember reading this. It was providential. Listen to what she has to say. When people come into very prayerful places with great burdens and have already been checked by physicians, psychiatrists, and priests, and their conditions seem to worsen rather than improve, can this be caused by some poor souls in their background? She says, yes, that can be the case, but if so, it is caused by souls that are very deep in purgatory. In these cases, a good exorcist will be able to stop the deceased from pressuring the living. And then she continues explaining. This question is given to her. Maria, can you tell me of an incident where non-forgiveness led to an illness? Oh, that is so very often the cause of illness, she says. Yes, I remember a case in Innsbruck where a young woman could simply not forgive her father. The situation was this. When the father was alive, he never gave any joy to his children. And in her case, when a good position came along, he refused to let her take it. It was a job that included a good amount of education, and his forbidding it caused her to wander through life without proper schooling. And it was this that she simply could not forgive. A short while after he died, he appeared to her not once but three times, begging her to forgive him. No, the daughter just couldn't. Then the woman fell ill, and during this time it suddenly dawned on her that she should forgive him. She did, and did so deeply, with all her heart. The illness quickly left her. I cannot remember now exactly what illness it was, but it did become clear to her that this was due to her long-term refusal to forgive. We cannot always forget things, but we must forgive. Non-forgiveness is a cause of the greatest burdens and limitations that we put on ourselves during our lives. If we go to God with it all, we become so much freer and fuller. And then also with forgiveness comes a much deeper understanding of what really happened. That also is a huge and very important grace. Yes, here is another case. It concerned an ugly and itching skin condition that a woman had for some 20 years or more. All modern medicine could do was give her a very expensive cream to reduce the itching. Then she went on a pilgrimage and met with a prayerful and experienced person who one day during dinner turned to her and her husband and simply said, "Let's ask Jesus to tell us what causes that on your hands and on your right leg from the knee downward." The instant he did, he had an internal vision showing a woman bending down with her right knee on the ground and with her hands stretched out toward a girl. The girl was this same woman as a child, and the woman in the vision was her mother. That mother had neglected to hold her children, especially this one, now grown up, and she in turn had never forgiven her for this. When this was explained, the husband turned to his wife and said, "That's right. That's so right. You have never forgiven her for this." With tears in her eyes, she had to admit it. She took this intention into prayer and into Mass for just 2 or 3 days, and the condition receded to just a fraction of what it had been. Then they returned home, and the fellow who had the vision never really heard whether it disappeared completely or not, but the itching and ugliness did go away nearly immediately. One cannot expect total forgiveness within the person to occur overnight, but Jesus surely showed the three who were present that evening where the problem was to be found. So again, the illness happened in a way that could have reminded the living of the sin of the ancestor. And in this way, the soul, still in purgatory, made itself known and was begging for forgiveness before which it could not be delivered. Now I am certain that soul, whose name I never did hear, is in heaven, and her daughter is free of a condition that hurt, bothered her and cost much money for several decades. So if it's the case that you find yourself with a stubborn illness, what should you do? What the church would always tell us to do is you first start with what's reasonable. You seek out reasonable medical attention. Now, this doesn't even mean spending thousands of dollars. This just means the initial medical treatment that you would find. The next, I would personally advise you to look at your diet, to be very careful about what you eat and very strict about what you put inside your body. With my wife and I, we are like that as well. For instance, organic, no seed oils, etc. We're extremely careful with everything that we eat because we know what's out there in the environment. Along with that, having a general devotion to the souls in purgatory, but specifically in your case, praying for the ancestors in your line. And you could name them because oftentimes we don't even know who they are, but we can pray for the souls in purgatory from our ancestors that are in the deepest parts of purgatory. As Maria Sima said, it makes sense that those that are suffering the most, God is allowing them to give us this sort of visible sign through illness in our bodies. How can we pray for them? By offering a few masses, hearing or attending masses for them, having rosaries and saying rosaries for them, as well as any other means of penance. Now, you can also find very helpful deliverance prayers that you can pray over yourself, or if you happen to have the grace of having an experienced priest or exorcist, you can have them pray prayers over you. I will recommend personally the exorcism app. There's many prayers there for laity that they can pray for themselves. Since one of the difficult things is discerning where does this come from, the best thing is just to do all three: the medical, the natural, and then the supernatural. Now, can illnesses have a demonic origin? Definitely. Listen to what she has to say. Earlier, Maria, you mentioned that Satan sends illnesses upon people through witches with demons under their control. How does one discern whether an illness is caused by them or by something else? By praying with the person or over the person. If it comes from elsewhere, the exorcism or deliverance prayer will show no results. But when it does come from demons, it will. It will at first try to hide or to fight back, but with a little perseverance, it will then depart. And in hospitals today, the term virus should be a possible warning signal for this. This term is often used by doctors when they come upon something they cannot explain. In such a case, get a priest or another powerful intercessor to them and get friends and relatives to pray quickly for the intercession of Our Lady and of Saint Michael. The priest should also take along exorcised, blessed, and consecrated water, or better yet, oil. Can you give me an example or two of illnesses sent upon someone demonically, she's asked, and then she answers. At the moment, I can think of three cases. One was pneumonia, another leukemia, and the third was a short but horribly painful case of back pains. This last case I know the most about because it happened to a friend of mine who for many months volunteered to work alongside one of the most respected priests in Europe. My friend suffered from a slightly pinched nerve between the third and fourth vertebrae. This was at first treated with injections of a muscle relaxant, but these did not help at all, and it only became worse. By this time, the pain was terrible. He then suspected that this might be demonic, and he called for two priests. The first one came but doubted this suspicion of his. After a long and fruitless discussion, the priest did finally go ahead and pray against it. At the moment that he did, the pains exploded and went running up and down my friend's right shoulder, arm, and thigh. It was as if a fork was ripping through his muscles and then stopping to grind into his joints. It raced up and down as the priest prayed, and then after 3 or 4 minutes, it receded dramatically. During this, however, my friend almost lost consciousness between spasms, cries, and screams. When it was over, the priest was in tears and acknowledged finally that the suspicion had been correct after all. Then 6 hours later, my friend having slept a little, the second priest, the one for whom he was working, came to him as well, and he too started to pray against it. This time it only fought back to about a third of what it had before, and then calmed down entirely. The next morning he was up again after 5 days in bed and could resume with his work as before. 2 weeks later, he visited here and brought the situation to my exorcist friend. This man then prayed away the very small part that was still present and found out that it had been sent upon my friend by someone in that first town. My friend did not know the person there, but for the priest to have such a loyal and persevering assistant was enough to make the other one furious. Did the unknown person need to know or see that there was a weak link, so to say, in your friend's back? Certainly, the demons under the power of this poor person knew of this weak link, but also consider how well known the priest is. My friend was exposed to much spiritual warfare. Often people can ask a question of why does God allow these things to happen? And the answer is very easy, because of free will. We just so happen to live in a time when there's extraordinary evil happening out there. And it's directed at everyone, whether you have a YouTube channel like me, or you don't do apparently anything. If you are a Catholic in any way in a state of grace, presume that you are being attacked against. Presume that witches and satanic people are throwing curses at you. Just presume that it's happening. Don't guess or wonder or try to figure out or waste time doing that. Just know, look, they're attacking me at all times. Just kind of like with the food, don't wonder, is the food poisoned? Is there stuff in the food? Yes, there is. Don't waste your time asking the question. Know that it is, and exercise caution right away. Similarly, you don't wonder whether Satan's attacking you. You know that he is at all times. And at any moment that you're in a state of grace, Satan smells that and he attacks you. So we should always be on our guard. My friends, as I always like to remind you, it's not just helpful to the souls in purgatory for us to pray for them. It benefits us incredibly, even down to our own physical health. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.